We're coming now to the second lesson on Judas's question. Judas's question. Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, the brother of James. John chapter 14 and verse number 22. The Bible says, Judas saith unto him, unto Christ, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He was not yet understanding and had not yet experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit and how God manifests himself to us in the days of the Holy Spirit. He is still thinking about the days of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He knew that it was brought, God's will was manifest by enunciation, by education. He didn't realize that God is now going to have the Spirit of God to reveal himself inwardly to the hearts of man. And as I read you in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 29 and 30, he's going to open your ears. He's going to cause you to see the way. He's going to cause you to perceive and hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And it's going to cause the songwriter of the New Testament age to write, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And so the Christian is put on trial and they say, sir, do you think you hear God talking to you? Yes, sir, I do. Are you saying then that you hear voices? No, sir, not like you're talking about. Well, what are you talking about? They don't understand. They can't understand. There is an awareness of these things. John chapter 14 and verse number 23. We're going to read that again. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the answer he gave to Judas, not Iscariot. If a man love me, he will keep my words. So love is that which conveys the mind and purposes and plan and the will of God to the Christian's heart. To each one individually, he has love towards God, and God has love towards him. Where is that verse that we were talking about? Here it is. We'll come back to verse 23. Look at verse 20 of John 14. At that day, at the day when you are born again and the Spirit of God comes into your heart, at the day of Pentecost, after that day, at that day, ye shall know three things. Number one, I am in my Father. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of glory shall come in. He did come in. He came into the portals of glory and came back to the Godhead. And he was made God all in all. Listen, I am in my Father. Number two, you will know that ye are in me. I've already told you the Spirit of God shall be with you and shall be in you. And he says, and number three, I in you. There is a oneness. That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17. Father, I pray that they may be one with us as I am one with you. And so there is a oneness of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the elect church of God, redeemed and glorified. Those four make up God all in all. So he says in verse number 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Those that don't keep my words, they don't love me because the Spirit of God's not dwelling in them. That's how I'm going to manifest myself to you, Judas, not Iscariot, and not unto the world. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Listen, and we will come unto him and make our abode. That's the same word, mansions, in my Father's house are many mansions in verse 2. He says, we will come and make our mansions, our abode with him. So the love of God, the love of Christ, the love by the Holy Spirit brings the Father's love to the individual saint. It brings the Son's love with the Father to the individual saints. And it causes the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit to make their abode with them. If these preachers at the funerals would just learn to read this verse and understand that word abode is the same word mansions in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, many abodes, places where I'm going to dwell. Talking about the individual Christian's heart that love him. Not talking about Jesus was the carpenter's son, so he's going to build us a house. No, Jesus was God's son, is God's son, and he's going to prepare a place for us at the cross. And he's going to make our abodes with God and God's abode with us. He is going to dwell in us. He's going to dwell with us. That's what he said. And that's how the world is not going to hear anything that God says to his church, because he does so by the Holy Spirit within their hearts. I don't care if they buy every book that every true man of God has ever written and read every word in it and go to every church and every church service and listen to every good sermon there is. If the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to him at all, it's not going to do him any good. He's just going to go to hell very educated about religion. Judas not Iscariot's question is very vital. It's vital to you. You need to understand it. It's vital to me. Why am I doing, why am I preaching? What's the purpose of this, all of this? It is so that the Holy Spirit, the only vehicle of revelation to the heart of God's people, will speak to God's people by the foolishness of preaching. God ordains to save them that believe. Oh, my soul. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, actually. He says in 1 John 2, verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. That's how we know that we know him. You say, well, that's my brother in the Lord. How do you know? Because he keeps God's commandments. That's my sister in the Lord. How do you know? Because she keeps God's commandments. Okay, but we got to go back a step farther. How do you know? How does she know to keep God's commandments? How does he know to keep God's commandments? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keep his word, listen, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So how do you know that they are your brother and sister in the Lord? How do you know that we know him? Because we keep his commandments. Okay, you're keeping his commandments. All right. Now, how are you keeping his commandments? What gives you the ability to keep his word, and what gives you the understanding that that is his word? The love of God in your heart. God conveys his word, he manifests himself to the church and not unto the world by the love of God within their hearts. Not one single soul, church member or not, pope, bishop, pastor, evangelists, whoever they may be, I don't care how big a church and religious order they conduct. Listen, they do not know God if the love of God is not in their hearts. They may be able to get up and mimic the preaching of the Word of God. They may be able to get up and say, this is the God's commandment, and read the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 23, we are instructed about these people. In Matthew 23, Jesus spake unto his disciples and the multitude. He said, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He's just going to tell it like it is in front of these people. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. He said, they are responsible for conveying the scriptures to you. They're scribes. They write down everything. They continue the word of God being broadcast to the peoples of God. And so when they say anything out of the scriptures, you observe and do that. But don't follow their example, for they say and do not. Listen, that's how America has fallen from a spiritual condition back 245 years ago. That's what we're celebrating as the 4th of July this year. 245 years of the liberty to worship God as we please. And that's how we've fallen. How? We can talk about religion, but we don't live it. As somebody said, they says it, they just don't do it. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Hebrews, Titus, chapter 1 and verse 16. Listen. They profess that they know God. There's the Annunciation. But in works, they deny him, being abominable. How can you say they're abominable when the guy brings forth the word of God straight out of the scriptures? Because he don't live it. Being abominable and disobedient, listen, and to every good work, reprobate. Now, it doesn't say unto every good word, disobedient, you know, I shouldn't have used that word, and unto every good word, they corrupt it. No, they don't corrupt the word. They say it like it is. That's not the truth so much in our world today. Religion just making up whatever they want to say. It's just really show and tell anymore. You can't hardly hear the word of God preached from the pulpits of America anymore. Not only do they do not, but they don't even say anymore. So anyhow, he says that a father will come and dwell with you, and We will make our abode with you. Now, we were reading in 1 John 2, 3 through 6. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So the one who is keeping his word is loving God, and that love begins to be developed and perfected. And he says, hereby know we that we are in him. This is 1 John 2 in verse 6. Now, he that saith he abideth in him, talks the good talk, ought himself also to walk even as he, as Christ, walked. 1 John 2, 6. Drop down to verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. That was said 2,000 years ago. So what do you think it is now? It's the bottom half of the ninth, isn't it? It's the last days of the last time. Little children, it is the last time. 1 John 2:18. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. You've heard that, hadn't you? Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Where do Antichrists come from? They can't apostatize from that which they did not profess. And where do they profess it? Sitting in the same pews that you do. Hearing the word of God. Like Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not have had any covering, for they would not have known sin. But now have they no cloak for their sin. So the preaching of the word goes out to all who sit there. Those who go out from us, They were not of us. You can't leave the truth of God if you are of the truth of God. Those who go out from the truth of God manifest that they were never really of us. For if they had been of us, they would, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They were not of us at all. Listen, now, you say, well, that scares me. I want to know about the true believers. Here's what he says. But ye who have the love of God perfected in you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. Listen, and ye know all things. You don't just know the sermons and the sermon titles and the sermon outlines that your preacher has brought to you. You know all things by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you. Now, you say, I don't know all things. There's a lot of questions I can't answer. That's not the way you look at this. He says, you know if that preacher is preaching to you the Word of God, if he's in the Spirit or not. Because the same Holy Spirit that's giving him the ability to speak is the same Holy Spirit that's in you, giving you the ability to perceive and understand and to have what he's saying to your outer ear to confirm what the Spirit of God is saying to your inner ear. So you have an unction, an anointing, not only in the pulpit, but in the pew. You have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, capital H, capital O. And you know all things. Now listen at verse 21. It's going to turn your religious world upside down. 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you, stop. This is the Apostle John, the Apostle whom Jesus loved, the Apostle who laid on his breast, the Apostle who was on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus came back and appeared unto him, came back to his friend. After his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, he comes back to John, and he says, John said, you know all this that I've written you? St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all this stuff that I've written you? Yeah. He said, let me tell you why I didn't write it. He said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. What? He said, it was never in my mind. I never perceived for an instant. I never contemplated for a moment that it was up to me to teach you dummies the things of God. That's not why I wrote to you. You mean the anointed Word of God, the inscripturated Word of God, was not written to teach me what I don't know? Keep reading. I told you to turn your world upside down. 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I'm writing to you those things that you already know because you have an unction with the Holy One. You say, well, those things that John wrote that I didn't know. Well, you might not in your pumpkin noggin not known it, but the Holy Spirit in you knows everything. That's what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit in you is the unction whereby ye know all things if you abide in that Spirit. When John said something that you had not perceived in your noggin, did you say, well, I don't believe that? You say, no, I thought, that's wonderful. I don't understand all of it, but that's wonderful. That's the truth of God. God's revealing that to me. Yeah. So you have an unction with the Holy One, and you know whether all things are true or not. And he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's what kept you from going out from among us. That's what kept you from being Antichrist. You know that what that word is coming and resonating across that pulpit is being confirmed by the Holy Spirit in your soul. And you say, I ain't leaving. God's feeding me here. God is giving me what I need here. And friend, if we had everybody that had ever even been a member, quote unquote, of this church in all the 40-something years that we have been meeting together, if they were all to come back at one time, we couldn't hold them all. We don't have enough chairs to put in the aisles to get them all a seat. They have been multitudes of people as far as where we are now that have come and gone, stayed some for years. Some stayed for years. Some didn't stay that long. Some came in and said, I want to hear the truth. And I thought to myself, well, sit down, let's see if you can stand it. And evidently they couldn't. We had another church, the entire congregation, after they dismissed their services, came to this church. And we've got one left from an entire congregation. What does that mean? It means they couldn't stand the truth. We had another bunch of 40-something people came in from another church. And dear soul, they've all, not without exception, but the majority of them have gone away. Why? Can't stand the truth. Didn't have the unction of the Holy Spirit within them. You say, but wasn't they the same as y'all are? Yep. Baptist? Yep. Sovereign Grace Baptist? Yep. If you want to call them Calvinistic Baptist? Yep. But even with all of that, they must not have been Holy Spirit Baptist because they didn't remain with us. But those who have an unction from the Holy One have. And he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. People come to me in this congregation and say, I'm reading the book of Isaiah. I'm reading the book of Hosea. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah. And they say, boy, I'm finding things in there that are just amazing. Oh, wait a minute. You're not a Jew, no. You didn't live hundreds of years ago in his condition, in his part of the country, in his day and age, at the point of the kind of revelation God had him in, no. Then how in the world are you getting along with Jeremiah and Isaiah and Hosea and Zechariah and all them guys? I have an unction with the Holy One and I know all things. The Holy Spirit is making me understand and know and perceive what God was saying back then. And I'm understanding it in the light of which God has given me today. And how is that coming to you? By the inward revelation of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? John chapter 15. I know we've read this. We read you verse 22, John 15, 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. That's why Jesus spoke out loud to those who were of the Pharisees and of the scribes and hypocrites. But now that I have spoken unto them, they have no cloak for their sin. In verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, now I spoke to them, so that it would strip them of their covering for their sin. But now the Holy Spirit's going to come. Same chapter, same Christ, same spiritual revelation, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Verse 22, when I spoke, it uncovered their sin. But the Holy Spirit's going to come and speak, and he is going to manifest me to God's elect people, and they are not going to fail to receive it. They're going to receive me. They're going to receive the love of God. There's a difference in this chapter right here between verses 22 and then verse 26 and 27 of the difference between Christ speaking literally on earth while he was here to preach and the Holy Spirit coming unseen. Spirit of God can't be seen. Whom the world will not receive him because they see him not, but ye shall see him. You shall know him. I will come unto you again. The Holy Spirit's coming was Christ coming to us again in the Spirit. And dear soul, they receive, those who receive the Spirit do so by the love of God in their souls, and they believe everything the Spirit says about Christ. That's the difference. That's the difference. Now, I want you to get this before we pass on. John 15, 26 and 27, the two witnesses. Revelation 11, 3, my two witnesses. Listen. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, shall testify of me. That's one witness. Verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness. That's the second witness. Who are the two witnesses? The Holy Spirit and the church. Ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. John 15, 26, 27, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, both of them say the same thing, and it interprets for you. You don't have to go down to the religious bookstore to buy, you know, scores of dollars worth of books on the Revelation to try to find out who the two witnesses are. And, of course, you'll find out all kinds of stupid errors that's identifying the wrong people. Well, it's Moses and Elijah. Or it's Enoch and Elijah. They didn't die, so they're the two witnesses. Stay with your Bible. Stick with the Scriptures. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. You've got two passages here. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Both tell you that the two witnesses are the Holy Spirit and the church. Let's go over there and read in Revelation 11. The book of the Revelation, chapter 11. And there was given me a reed, a measuring reed, like a rod or yardstick. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Lay this down on the souls of men, not church membership, but if you'll have it, the church membership, that is, those who are born again. Lay this rod down and find out just who are saved and who are lost. And measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The true church has an altar and they have worship. But the court, which is without the temple, it doesn't have an altar out there. It's outside the temple. Leave it out, for it's given to the heathen, the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. All right. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, the Holy Spirit and the church. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. How long is that? That's as long as the evangelism shall last from the time Jesus said, go ye into all the world, till the time when it was over and done with at the last of the age. That's how long it is. They will be clothed in sackcloth. That is, these are not going to be braggadocious men commanding you to bow under their authority. If they do, they're not of God. There are men who are serving you. God's true people, his ministers, are servants of your souls. If you have a man saying, you better do this, you better not do this, do that, you better come over here with me, and you better not go back to that, you don't have a man of God. A man of God says, follow the Holy Spirit. I am following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's guiding me into what to preach to you, so it will fit whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you. But if you have a man with a cookie-cutter religion and saying, you got to be like this, or you ain't right with God, you better run from him. Listen. These are the two olive trees. This is Revelation 11:4. And the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. They're constantly producing the oil. And it goes on to tell you better not mess with them because fire cometh out of their mouth to devour their enemies. That is the fires of God, not literally. But God will not hold them blameless that stand against his true gospel ministry. They have power to shut heaven and that it rain not in the day of their prophecy. Literally, physically, like Elijah did. But spiritually speaking, God will go along with his ministry. He will cooperate with that man's ministry. And providence will manifest itself. It's going along with it, whatever the man asks. Jesus said, I will do it. Because he's not going to ask anything for himself or selfishly. He's going to ask everything for the glory of God and for the good of God's people. So be careful with him because he has power with heaven through his prayers. And then verse number 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony. One of the things that I have found that got me in most trouble and gets me in most trouble with preachers is telling them that the day of evangelism can be over, will be over. But especially when I tell them, I can see the day of evangelism is being diminished and is being ended in our day. They don't like that. They can't believe it. But listen at Revelation 10:7. But the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. What is the mystery of God? It's the gospel, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That's Revelation 10:7. Now listen to Revelation 11:7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, it's saying that the devil can't make a move until the gospel is withdrawn. And dear soul, if you don't believe that the devil is in control of a lot of that which is going on in America today, you need to have your eyes open. But why is that? It's because God has had to remove his gospel. God has had to pull his gospel out of public awareness, a public reception. You may be able to tell me about a lot of people who are church members, but you can't really point out that many true Christians. They are not that many true Christians who are receiving the unction of the Spirit by the love of God in their hearts in our nation today. The testimony is being finished. And therefore, God is allowing Satan to come against his ministers, smiting the shepherds and scattering the flock, saying all manner of evil against them falsely for his sake, so that this can happen, so that the encroachment of hell may predominate our nation. Why should God bless America? God bless America. It's because it's a land that I love. No. Dear soul, if America would make itself blessable, God would bless it to death. What have we done? Turn from the scriptures. Turn from preaching. Our houses of religion are no more than houses of entertainment. We would rather have preachers that go to a seminary to learn how to preach and learn psychology 101. Than a man called of God. We can't abide a man called of God. It's too strong. We don't like it. He uncovers our sin. He has taken away our cloak for our sin. Therefore, we have to flee from him. Come and stay a little while. But then when they finally begin to hear, like Jesus' disciples, Jesus said, will ye also go away? And the true spiritual Christian, Mr. Peter, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou only hast the words of eternal life. If you are looking and wanting and desiring and needing the words of eternal life, you can abide. You will abide under the workings of the Holy Spirit through the ministry of God. But if not, you're not going to be able to stand it. It will uncover your sin. It will manifest who you are. So it says, they'll overcome them and kill them. Whatever they have to do to destroy that man's reputation. Whatever they have to do to tear down everything that has been built up. But dear soul, they can't tear down anything that God has built up. You can't touch it. They built their house on a rock. And the rains came and the floods, the rains descended, the floods rose. And the house on the rock stood firm. You can't destroy it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Spiritual Jerusalem. Religion. The aftermath of that which was at one time gloriously Christian is just laying dead in the street. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, not for a long period of time, but they're going to see it, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. We want this to stay around so that we can continually mock them and show that we have thrown off the yoke of God off of us. They don't believe it's the yoke of God. They believe that they are still following God. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Ha, ha, ha. See what happened to that old preacher over there? He ain't got nobody left. So you better be careful. That was the pattern that Jesus had and established. Fear not, little flock, he said. Got all the way down just to John and a few women at the cross. But dear soul, it was through the death of Jesus Christ that God brought the life of the church. You better be careful. Because, listen, it must needs be that afflictions come, but woe unto him by whom the affliction cometh. You do not want to be that one that stands against God's people because you are standing against God. And even though you kill us and think you do God a service, you think you're so right in that time, you're being deceived. We're praying for you. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall give gifts, send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. The Holy Spirit and the church tormented them. Isn't that something? The Holy Spirit and the church blessed me. The Holy Spirit and the church was a comfort to God's people. Where you want to be? I want to be where God's people are. Why? Because I want to be among those who are led by the Holy Spirit. But these others, they fled from the Holy Spirit and the true church because they were tormented. But listen, after 3 days and a half, just a little short time, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. You find that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, as well as here in Revelation 11 and verse number 12. It is a spiritual elevation. I'll get it right. Elevation. Both places, come up hither in Revelation 4, 1 and come up hither in Revelation 11 and verse 12, is God spiritually why can't I say that word? Elevating his people. He's raising them up. Let me say it that way. I can get that out. It's Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 If ye then be risen with Christ, that is, born again, raised from the dead, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. This is what's going to happen to these who are raised up. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what's happening. Come up hither. So they cease to consider and contemplate dead, dull, earthly religion. And they ascended up in heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Dear soul, one of the things that's going to happen down at the end, and I believe we're near approaching it, is that God is going to send forth the effectual word of God, come up hither. He did it at the beginning of the church age in Revelation 4:1, come up hither out of the literal, normal, physical workings of the old economy. Come up into the New Testament age. Come up into the spirituality. Rise up, O men of God. Come up into the realm of spiritual consciousness. Read Acts chapter 2 and see what God did as he brought the church from where it had been, hiding in an upper room, scared to death, out of here with boldness. And see how they came up spiritually. That's what's going to happen in the end of the age. Revelation 11 and verse number 12. And so it says, that same hour there was a great earthquake. And I want to show you what that earthquake is before we finish. And the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted. Now, we just got through preaching some messages on the remnant. It's talking about those who truly are God's people. That God has always had his true spiritual remnant down through the ages. And those people who are still alive, who are still God's people, when they see the power of God brought back to the church and casting out all of the programs and all of the ideas and concepts and all of the false prophets and false men who were trying to use the church for their own vainglory, see all that cast out and the thing cleansed, they're going to be affrighted. What did God say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The glory comes back. I've been preaching at you about the glory for years, and here it is. Down at the end of the age, God's going to purge his church. The Father is going to purge the vine that it bring forth much fruit and more fruit. And God's going to recover the purity of the church by casting out everything that's impure. All of the fantasies of men and the ideas and concepts of men and the programs and all of the foolishness that man in his emotionalism, trying to exchange his emotions for the Holy Spirit. All that junk that they brought in is going to be cleaned out. And the power of God is going to be seen. And it's going to recover the glory of God. And all the remnant shall be affrighted. And God shall have purged his church. The earthquake. Let me get to that real quick before our time is gone. Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. We got a little bit more time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24. You come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You come, verse 24 of Hebrews 12, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You come to the blood of the sprinkling, and that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refuse him that speaketh on earth, back on Sinai, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, the Holy Ghost, whose voice at Mount Sinai shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but the heavens. The spiritual qualities of things is going to be shaken. till all the impurities be shaken out of it. It's not just the carnal things that were stopped. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, and all the law of Moses that was given at Mount Sinai. I didn't just shake the earth then and say, well, that's it. Now I'm going to shake the heavens. The spiritual things of religion are going to be shaken. And this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Everything that's been added to the church by man shall be removed, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. If you are on the solid rock, the church is on the solid rock, it cannot be shaken, it will remain. What is this talking about? Verse 28. It's talking about receiving a kingdom. This is how the kingdom of God shall come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God will send a shaking, an earthquake, he calls it, similar to an earthquake, but a spiritual shaking up of everything to shake out everything that's impure and bring and establish only that which cannot be shaken that may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. That's what it's all about. Our God is a consuming fire. Finish up Haggai chapter 2. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, then Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver that's in it is mine. The gold that's on the altar is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. God has promised from the prophet Haggai. God has promised from the writers of the book, the writer of the book of Hebrews, that in the latter times and in the book of the Revelation, John the Apostle, there's going to be a shaking. And God's going to clean this thing up. Going to bring back the glory of God. That's the answer to Judas, not Iscariot's question. How are you going to do it? By the Holy Spirit. How are you going to do it? It won't be visible. The effect of it will be seen to be visible. You'll see people who are obeying God, but it's going to be given, and it's going to be manifested by the Holy Spirit within the hearts of God's people, for they have an unction with the Holy One. Ain't God good? Thank you for attending this. Thank you for staying on to the second lesson. We trust it's been a blessing to you and that God will make it effectual to your heart and give you great hope in the Word by the Spirit. Amen.